Years ago, I went to an event. It was one of those really, really, really amazing events. And I think you expect me to say it was some sort of religious conference. It was called Summernats. Now, I've been into the car world since I was, well, since I was allowed to have motors instead of pedals. And I've built cars, I've painted cars, I've hung out with car people, I've been to car shows, I've been to car racing, I've been to Speedway, the drags, you name it, I've been there. And I went to this Summernats, and I walked in, and at first I was hit with the smell of fuel, the smell of tyre rubber, the noise, the sound, this operatic sound of V8s with no mufflers. The operatic sound of superchargers, being able to look at cars and see straight over the top because they're so low, walking around seeing the paint that just glowed in the dark, to see the people all dressed inappropriately as I do, with thongs and shorts and singlets and really bad haircuts. If only I was allowed a mullet. Anyway. I walked into the Summernats, and you know what I thought? I thought, I've found my people. These are my people. And then as the day went on, I got a little frustrated and disappointed and disillusioned, because some of my people were acting really badly. They weren't honouring each other, they weren't respecting each other. Some of them were urging others to misbehave, and misbehave is a really nice word for what they were doing. And at that time, I was getting more disillusioned and angry and going, these are not my people. But then I looked around and I saw that there were many other people like me that were not highly impressed by the noisy behavior of some. And I said, my people, there's some I really connect with, and there's some of my people that I get really disappointed with. And you know what? There's another group of people that are my people. Church people. Christians. You're my people. I'm one of us. And you know, I also walk around and sometimes and I get disappointed with some people. And I get frustrated with some people. And I don't agree with some people. And I get really frustrated and angry, and I want to walk away and go, I don't want to be known as one of them. But at the same time, I know that I am one of us. We are a people. Because you know what? Because if every Christian was a perfect Christian, they'd be like this guy. No, seriously, because I've looked in the Bible at some different ideal God-following people. I just want to mention some of these God-followers and what they did. Firstly, Ezekiel, Old Testament prophet, he laid on his side for a year. And then he rolled over and did another 6 months on his other side. Daniel, he decided to disobey what the leadership said and did his own thing. Jonah heard the word of God and ran away, went sailing. That's the example that we all should follow, to go sailing. Joshua entered the promised land, annihilated nations, wiped them out. Hosea married a prostitute. Samuel, he decided to go live in the temple and become a priest. And the seven in Acts that looked after the widows and the Christian community. That's a pretty broad range of God folk, isn't it? And I think, and I hope, that we might say that they're not all good examples. But somewhere amongst that, we are my people. And you are my people. And amongst all of that, we need to find that place of who God is and who am I within this community, within this body, within this people. You know, I get it, but I don't get it, how people can say, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. I get it because some of my people are hard to get on with.
But I don't get it because we are one people. And we need to be a part of who we are. We just read out this passage about the body. And what I take away from that is me, my weirdness, my uniqueness, my specialness is needed by the body. And also, the body needs this guy. We are a people. I need us, and each of you are needed by us, because we aren't complete unless we are one together. When we become a Christian, we're saved from our sins, yes. But that's only half the story. We're saved from our sins into the body of Christ. We become a people. God saves us to be one. And we need to find who we are and how we fit. And we need to be able to honor and respect that body and to be a part of it. Jamie read out that passage before, and I want to read a smaller part of it. He did actually say to me, there's no big words. I said, no, but there's lots of little confusing ones. It's really hard passage to read. I just want to read a little part of it. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we're all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is made up of not one part, but many. But God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, and that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Each one of you is a part of it. And we're not the same parts, and you know what? We're not supposed to be. We're not supposed to be identikits of each other. We're not supposed to be carbon copies of each other. We're meant to be different. And that means that we're going to struggle to understand each other sometimes. And you know what? That's good. That's good. Because together we are stronger. Together we are more the picture of who God is and who God wants to be in this world. God's called us to walk with each other. We is more than a whole bunch of little eyes. I am more than me. I am us. We are us. And sometimes our society makes it really hard to get that because we're so onto and into the whole me, me, me. But we need to come to a place of going, it's not about me. It's about us. We're called to be one. And we've been talking about worship for the past few weeks. And we've been talking about worship as individuals and worship who I am within that. But I also want to talk about who we are in worship and what that looks like. In Psalm 149, it says, sing the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrels and harps. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory, and let his faithful people rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all his faithful people. We are called to be a nation of God, to walk together, to be one together. So what does it look like? Why is worship important? Well, firstly, worship's important because it's a biblical mandate. We are called to worship. And I want to hang this off Hebrews 10, 24, 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. It's amazing how you read the Bible sometimes and say it must have been written last month. Sometimes it just goes, it could be, well, most of the time, it could be written today for what's happening here. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. God's calling us to walk together. We're made to walk together. That's who we are. And Jesus is saying that as a Christian, as we walk together, that's what God wants us to be. Now, sometimes that may be hard. And sometimes that might be easy. Sitting around having missions lunch, it's a bit easier than other times. But that doesn't matter. The things in life are not always easy. Sometimes we have to fight for the things we love. And we are called to be a part of this. It's a mandate that we worship together. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. If either falls down, one can help the other up. Pity to the one who falls down and has no one to hold them up. We're called to be connected to each other, to walk with each other and to encourage each other. Which leads me to the next part. What we're called to do is to why we do worship together is because it's a spiritual recharging and blessings. The passage Hebrews 10 we read out before, a part of it says, spur one another towards love and good deeds. As we come together, our role is not to put each other down and make each other look bad. It's not to spread gossip and hurt each other. It's to spur each other on to love and build each other up. So what does this mean? Well, firstly, we've got to walk together. We're not alone. So often we feel alone, but we're not alone. And I need to take the steps to not be alone. We come together, and we come together to spur each other on. How do we spur each other on? Through encouragement, through prayer, through speaking and understanding Scripture together, through a commonness, a connectedness, a life experience, and a journey of faith together. How often have I been down and I've met someone, like I hang out with you guys a lot, like not all of you, just bits and bads, but my week is filled with all of you in different ways. And there's days where I'm down. And you know what? One of you clowns will be happy. And that makes me happy. And there's other times where you are down. And I try to be happy. Because we need to find that balance and encouragement in each other. To not focus on the tough, horrible things that are going on. And I'm not denying them because there are tough, horrible things going on. But to be able to see that there's hope and there's a tomorrow. When we're walking together, we have joy together, we have sorrow together. We spur each other on, we encourage each other to be stronger together. We're walking in one accord with a purpose to be able to see this world transformed, to see the people in this world to come to know Jesus. A purpose that knowing that one day we will all be hanging together in heaven with the Father. Don Whitney wrote a book called Spiritual Disciplines, and he says, there's an element of worship and Christianity that cannot be experienced in private worship or by watching worship. There are some graces and blessings that God gives only in the meeting together with other believers. God blesses us when we come together, when we support each other. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled at awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What an amazing picture. And sometimes we look at it and go, it's impossible. But is it? It is possible to live and connect with each other, to journey with each other. And you know who's going to do that and make the difference? It's not me. It's us. It's we. Our connection to community comes from us putting our hands up and saying, I am committed to we, and we are going to do this together. So why is worship important? Well, the public statement that it makes. When we come together, we have a voice that we don't have individually. We have the potential to change this world that we don't have individually. Jesus says, I am the way. And Jesus is seeking worshippers that will deny themselves and come together. If I was asked to fill in this blank in this sentence, I'd like to do on Sundays, what would that be? Now, as a straw poll, who said, deny myself? Yeah, no, I'm not really keen on that either. But that's what God calls us to do. And yet Sunday afternoons, what's often Sunday afternoon? Graham, what's Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock? Footy. Our community is based on being a fan. We have the teams that we support. We have our country that we support. We got people that we support. And we're like, yeah, go, go. When you win, we win. And you know what? God's not calling us to be fans. God's not calling me to be a fan of Jesus. God's calling me to participate in the mission of Jesus, participating in the body of Christ. We're called to deny ourselves to become one, to deny me to become us. He's calling us to participate in his calling to the world and what he's doing to change it. Corinthians 12 that we ran out before. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We are one and we come together to support each other. And as we do, that makes a huge statement into our community. Our community doesn't get that support of each other. It doesn't get that community. It doesn't have a place where people are willing to sacrifice for each other. And yet that's what God's calling us to. That's what the body of Christ is. That's what we are as a family. My people sometimes make me frustrated. But my people is my family as well. And I will deny myself in order to support and love and care for my people. Why else do we worship? Because the individual benefits through cooperation. There's a story in the tornado belt in America how this tornado came through, and it came through really suddenly and no one was expecting it. They didn't have time to get the kids to come home from school. So they got all the kids together and we went down into the cellar, and all the kids were terrified, and they could hear the noise of the tornado going past, the destruction happening above it. And you can imagine the kids were terrified. And the teachers were trying to sing songs and trying to distract them, and it didn't work. And then one teacher leant over to the little girl next to her and said, "Aren't you forgetting something, Katie? There is a power greater than a storm that will protect us. Just say to yourself, God is with us." And then pass those words on to the child next to you. So these words passed around one by one. And the tension in this room and the anxiety in the room just dropped. Because together they remembered that God is bigger than the storm. And then as the storm moved on and as they went back upstairs, there was a quietness and a connectedness because they'd all been through this together. not a group of individuals walking in their stress and pain and frustration and anxiety, but a group of people that were able to remind each other that God is bigger, God is stronger, and God has got this. We are blessed as we walk in community. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. As we come together, God gets through all of that messiness that we like to hold on to, gets through to what's really important. And as we walk in community and as we walk with the body of Christ, God's able to cut through to what's important in us to be able to reveal what's true. John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, sometimes it's easier to love one another when we don't see them. But that's actually not love, is it? Love is walking with each other in the good day, in the bad day, in the celebration and in the pain. Love is talking to people and connecting with them and praying for people that are sometimes a little bit more difficult. Love is walking with those around us because, not because of what we get out of it, but because God is there and Jesus is in them too. To expand on that, John went on to 1 John 3. We know that we have... Oh, sorry, I'll put my glasses on for this one. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. How can we live apart from each other and say that we love each other? Worship is something we need to do together. Worship is something we need to do on our own. Worship is something we do in every aspect of our life. But there's times that we need to make choices to deny ourselves to be able to walk in worship and work in love with each other. Something I just want to say is that worship isn't a means to an end. Worship isn't something we do in order to gain something. Worship, we do worship because God calls us to worship. We do worship because God loves us and gave us his life so that we might have life. Worship isn't a precursor to get something, but worship is a response for what we've already been given. We love God because God first loved us. We walk with God because he walks with us. And I just want to say right now, because for the past few weeks we've been talking about worship, and I'm not just talking about coming together in worship being the songs on a Sunday morning. Please don't hear that. We've talked about worship being service and worship being connected and worship being all sorts of different things and how we find our ways of worship and what that looks like. And when I say worship, it's how do we honor God and walk with God in our community before him. And a part of that is coming together on Sunday. But don't say that our worship and our community is only here, because it's not what it's about. Our community is every day of our life. Our brothers and sisters are there every day of our life. And we need to take that step of connecting with people and walking with people because that's who our family is. I need to take steps to be able to connect with people because we are one together. Psalm 35, I will give thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will praise you. We praise God in everything we do, every day, every week. And now one question that's really important is, what's more important, individual worship or corporate worship? They're both so important, because my individual worship leads me to my corporate worship. My corporate worship encourages me in my individual worship. We can't just use when we come together as being all I have, because we're called to worship individually. But I also can't just have what I do on my own being everything I have, because we are an expression of us together. Someone once said, personal worship and corporate worship are the two wings on which a Christian will soar. We need both aspects of worship in our lives, where we spend time honouring God on our own and we spend time honouring God with each other. As Christians, we are committed to Jesus, and Jesus is committed to us as his followers. Not just me, but us. The hard ones, the difficult ones, the beautiful ones, the pleasing ones. Us. All of us. To end, I just want to read out a revelation. And Revelation speaks of what's to come. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Revelation 5 and Revelation 19. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. And then a voice came from heaven saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both great and small." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah, for our God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory." Let's pray. Father, we live in a broken world. We live in a broken world with broken relationships. And Father, there is a space in that within us that is a bit broken too. But Father, you are a God of healing and hope. You're God of eternity. You're God of faith. And you are committed to each and every one of us, together and individually. Father, one day we'll sit before you and we'll hear the worship of tens and tens of thousands around us, all rejoicing and celebrating in who you are. At the moment we see you as in a mirror, but one day we'll see you face to face. And Father, help us to be able to celebrate what we have in the future, to be able to celebrate that we are one together now. Father, help us to be people of grace and mercy, to be able to walk in forgiveness, to walk in healing. Father, help us to be kind and compassionate. And Father, help us to celebrate and encourage and urge each other on to greatness as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.